Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to 3R Petroleum first quarter 2022 earnings conference call. The conference call, the presentation, and comments about the results will be presented by Ricardo Sawini, CEO of 3R, and the CFO and IRO, Mr. Rodrigo Pizarro. We inform that the simultaneous translation tool is available on the platform. To access, simply click on the interpretation button at the bottom of the screen and choose your preferred language. This conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's investor relations website, www.ri.3rpetroleum.com.br. You can also see the presentation. Please be advised that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the presentation. We will begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Before proceeding, I take this opportunity to stress that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of 3R's management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements may involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists should understand that events related to the macroeconomic environment, the industry, and other factors may also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. We will start the presentation turning the floor to Mr. Ricardo Sawini. Please, Mr. Sawini, you may begin.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to our conference call to discuss quarterly results of 3R Petroleum. In this first quarter of 2022, we posted a robust operating performance, as we show here on the slide. At Macau, our first asset, in which by the end of the month of May, we will complete 2 years operating that cluster, we had more than 36% production increase compared to Q1 of 2021. We had an average oil production in here, not including gas, above 6,200 barrels, also posting strong growth quarter-on-quarter. In other words, compared with the last quarter of 2021 of around 21% production increase. The same performance is seen in Rio Ventura cluster in the Recôncavo Basin in the state of Bahia, where we posted 36% production increase, but this time compared to July of last year, which was the month when we took over the operations replacing Petrobras. We are now close to around 900 and 1,000 barrels at Rio Ventura cluster, 943 barrels a day on average in Q1 of 2022. In both cases, we had an ascending operating performance, and we are very happy with our operating performance, including our operating safety. So far to date, we have had no disabling accidents, no fatalities, no serious accidents in any of our operations. For the company as a whole, when we include these two clusters plus Areia Branca cluster, whose operation we took over in Q4 of last year, and the 35% working interest that we have in Pescada, which is still under the operatorship of Petrobras, we posted a production increase of 66% over the first quarter of 2021. We are producing almost 7,700 barrels of oil a day with the portfolio that is operated by us. This translates into a robust financial performance, as we can see in the graphs on the bottom part of the slide. We show here that we had a revenue increase of almost threefold compared to a year ago. We posted 375 million BRL in the first quarter of this year, compared with 133 million BRL in the first quarter of 2021. I think another excellent result is the fact that we increased revenues in this quarter, Q1 2022 over
Q4 2021. A 51% revenue increase quarter on quarter, reflecting our production increase and the assets operated by us, as well as a higher price of the Brent. The Brent is the commodity that we sell, which clearly offsets the appreciation of the Brazilian currency, which happened in this quarter. Rodrigo Pizarro, our Chief Financial Officer, will elaborate on that later on. And all of that results in an adjusted EBITDA that was also quite robust in this quarter of approximately 200 million BRL. Also, an increase of 2.5 times compared to the 79 million that we posted in the first quarter of 2021. From the strategic standpoint and as a subsequent event, we published our reserves certification of the Potiguar cluster, which was the last cluster that we signed in Q1 of this year. We got 2P reserves audited by a third party of 229 million barrels of oil equivalent, which brings our complete portfolio, in other words, adding Potiguar cluster to the other clusters, of 494 million barrels of oil equivalent of 2P reserves. A good part of that of proven reserves. As we can see on the slide, about 355 million barrels of proven reserves. In other words, very low level of risk in our current portfolio. Also, in the first quarter, we signed more favorable contracts in terms of gas sales, an increment of up to 8 times in gas prices compared to what we had a year ago. As you can see on slide four, we had the election of two new board members, Roberto Castello Branco, who's very seasoned and was even the CEO of Petrobras. Castello Branco was elected board member and was then chosen by our board of directors as the new chairman of the board. This was decided in the board meeting of 3R Petroleum just yesterday. We also have the pleasure to welcome Harley Scardoelli, who has a vast experience with Gerdau. He's our new board member. We had Santiago leaving the board. Santiago was part of the board of directors until the latest shareholders meeting. So with one board member leaving and two new board members joining us, the company now has six board members. We maintain Paulo Thiago Mendonça as a board member, but he's no longer chairman of the board and is now just a regular board member, just like the others. We continue with Guilherme Afonso Pereira, Paula Kovarsky, and Jetil Solbraki. I will now turn to slide number five. On slide five, we give you an update on our portfolio in terms of reserves, with the inclusion of the new certification of Potiguar cluster. As we mentioned in the introduction, you can see in the middle column of 2P reserves, we reached 493 million barrels, 493.5 million barrels of 2P reserves, probable plus proven. And a good part of these reserves are proven reserves, as we posted in the column of 1P reserves. And as a new highlight, a good part of that substantial volume corresponds to developed proven reserves. In other words, that is the lowest level of risk there is in the oil industry. To give you an update, we continue with our entry multiples at around three. On this slide, we start to report also the base date for each one of these certifications. I actually take the opportunity that we are in an earnings conference call to say that our strategy, our policy will be to have every December 31st a cutoff of the volume of certified reserves. So next year, I take this opportunity to announce that. Next year, in Q1, we should have all of these assets with a baseline of December 31st of 2022. As we haven't taken over some of the assets, each one of them Each one of them has a different baseline. Please note that 72% of our portfolio is made up of proven reserves, corroborating what I was saying in terms of a very low level of risk and in large volumes of reserves. And 10% of our portfolio is made up of gas reserves. And especially after the inclusion of Potiguar cluster, which is, as we call it, an oil-prone cluster. On slide six, we plot those same 2P reserves, probable plus proven, but with a timeline approach. So you can see that we have reserves. I mean, according to our reserves certification, and I would like to stress that they were certified by the two most renowned certification firms in the world, Degolyer and MacNaughton and Gaffney and Kline. So we foresee that in 2P, we will reach about 94,000 barrels of production at the peak a few years from now. And if we consider just 1P reserves, we reach around 70,000 barrels with very, very low risk of not achieving this. And another point that I would like to highlight with the graph on the right side of the slide is that we have here time to reserves depletion, which is among the very best in Brazil, of around 14 years, whether we produce 1P proven reserves or 2P reserves, proven plus probable. So 14 years of production. And after that, we can activate a process to replace reserves. For that, also as a subsequent event that we have not mentioned yet, we participated in the bid of permanent offer by ANP in the Potiguar Basin in blocks around our producing assets, again, in a strategy to maintain these 14 years looking forward. Here on slide seven, we show the production curve of our two main clusters operated by us at this point, Macau cluster at the top and Rio Ventura cluster on the bottom of the slide. And in a different timeline approach than what we saw in the introduction, but now with numbers, we had a 36% production increase compared to 12 months ago and a 21% increase quarter on quarter, comparing with Q4 2021. But when we break it down, looking at the graph on the right, when we break down production month after month in this quarter, you can see that we maintain our ascending production trend. I always like to stress that we cannot ensure that in every subsequent month we are going to post a higher production than the previous month. But casually in this quarter, this happened. So in March, at the end of March, we produced an average of almost 6,500 barrels at Macau cluster. And this is oil production, which represents 70% production increase compared to what we found, compared to what we received from Petrobras in May of last year, almost 2 years ago exactly. I would like to remind you that here we haven't even started implementing the two main strategies to revitalize mature fields. We haven't drilled new wells, and we haven't kicked off important projects of water injection in the reservoirs of these fields. We basically achieved this production increase by improving our operating efficiency, reducing downtime, or the time during which the wells are offline. So this is a result that makes us happy, but we are never happy enough. We should start, and I take this moment to announce this, we should start a drilling campaign at Macau cluster and most likely also at Rio Ventura cluster as well in the second half, more towards the end of the year. We are now at the final phase of contracting drilling rigs to enable us to continue to increase production in all of these clusters. At Rio Ventura cluster, you can see that quarter on quarter, we were able to increase production by 12%, which is rather strong comparing with Q4 of last year. As for production increase, when we look at the chart on the right, we can see production in March of this year compared to what we found before we started operating the cluster. With production increasing by 35%, which in the case of Rio Ventura, I believe is a spectacular result, considering that Rio Ventura has Água Grande field, which is one of those rare fields that already have a very high recovery factor. So this is a good achievement to increase production in a field that already has a high recovery factor, such as Água Grande, is a very noteworthy result. When we look at our full portfolio, the complete portfolio, you can see that in Q3 2020, we had around 4,000 barrels operated by us. And today, we have practically doubled that. We are at 7,000 or close to 7,700 barrels of oil produced daily, including all clusters that we operate. They are Macau, Rio Ventura, and Duna, and our working interest in Pescada cluster still operated by Petrobras. So there is production increase sustained along every quarter. With 81% of our production in this quarter, in Q1 2022, coming from Macau, which is the greatest cluster in our portfolio in operation at this point. When we put together oil plus gas, we achieved a production of over 9,000 barrels of oil equivalent in our complete portfolio, a good part of that being oil production. Around 1,500 barrels equivalent are gas. Basically, 84% of our portfolio is production of oil and 16% is production of gas. I will now turn the floor to our Chief Financial and Investor Relations Officer, Rodrigo Pizarro, who will continue and take the presentation to the end. Good day, everyone. Let's now begin the financial part of the presentation. On slide nine, we can see our net revenues, which totaled in Q1 2022, around 375 million BRL, resulting mainly from a production increase at Macau cluster, the new gas contracts for that same cluster, the accounting of revenues during the whole first quarter of the year of Areia Branca cluster, and the 50% working interest of Sanhaçu field acquired from Galp. These two assets had their closing in the middle of the previous quarter. And lastly, the reference price of the oil barrel, which was higher than in the previous quarter. I'd like to remind you again that the revenues presented here do not include cash generation from assets that are still being operated by Petrobras, not even those which have an effective date prior to the closing, which is the case of the 65% stake of Pescada Arabaiana, of Fazenda Belém, Papa-Terra, and Potiguar cluster. In other words, only around 25% of our total production, if we assess average production of the last 12 months, is reflected in these numbers. On the next slide, we present our adjusted EBITDA, which totaled practically 200 million BRL in Q1 2022. In other words, 2.5x higher than the first quarter of last year. In addition to the positive effects mentioned before on our revenue, we also had a reduction of the lifting cost per barrel, as we are going to see in a minute, resulting in a very positive EBITDA margin of 53%, even considering costs and expenses referring to assets which are now in the transition phase. On the following slide, slide 11, we present the company's consolidated lifting cost, which dropped from $9.6 per barrel of oil equivalent to $9.2 per barrel of oil equivalent, maintaining 3R at an exceptional level of efficiency when compared to its peers in Latin America. In the quarter, we had a significant reduction in the lifting cost of Macau cluster, mainly due to the dilution of fixed costs given the increased production. We also had a lift in cost reduction at Areia Branca cluster by virtue of resizing of teams and renegotiation of some contracts. On the other hand, we had higher costs in Rio Ventura, exactly because we are implementing in the first year of our operatorship what we typically call backlog of operational activities. In other words, activities which were not performed by the former operator in the last 5 years, and which are performed, implemented by the company in the first 12 to 18 months of operatorship by 3R. In the next quarters, with the joint operation of Rio Ventura and Recôncavo cluster, we will capture synergies and dilution of fixed costs in some contracts. Lastly, in terms of CapEx, we maintained our capital discipline in Rio Ventura, Macau, and Duna. The $13 million presented refer mainly to wells, workover activities by workover rigs at the clusters that are being operated by 3R. We have in total four workover rigs in operation, three at Macau and one in Rio Ventura. We also have a small portion of these $13 million invested in IT systems and systems for control and distant automation of wells at Rio Ventura and Macau, as we have been deploying in recent quarters, mainly focused on Macau cluster and now turning our eyes to Rio Ventura. On the next slide, we present our cash position. We ended Q1 2022 with approximately $338 million in cash, most of it invested in US dollars. As regards our portfolio obligations, we have about $1.7 billion, of which $1.3 billion referring to firm payments, $263 million deferred, most of them referring to Potiguar cluster, which corresponds to four annual payments of approximately $59 million to be paid between 2024 and 2027. And thirdly, $159 million in contingent installments, most of them being linked to some oil conditions, production, and/or declaration of commerciality of the offshore assets, in other words, Papa-Terra and Peroá. As for our hedge position, in the end of 2021, we had around 2,640 contracts. On March 31st, 2022, we had in total 2,120 contracts over an 18-month horizon, with an average fixed price of approximately $69 per barrel in the case of NDF contracts and a call level of around $71 per barrel for contracts with a collar structure. This covers around 6,300 barrels daily on average of oil hedged along 2022, and about 1,500 barrels daily on average along the first 9 months of 2023, which are hedged at these levels. As regards our net income, we had an accounting loss of 335 million BRL in the first quarter, mainly impacted by financial expenses, about 525 million BRL, of which 230 million BRL related to the cash invested in dollars, as mentioned, in the appreciation of the Brazilian currency in the quarter as compared to the previous quarter. Also, 82 million BRL of realized hedge expenses in the quarter and 170 million BRL of negative effects of mark-to-market of future contracts. To conclude on the last slide, slide 13, we present the next steps of the company. We stress our focus on the organic growth of the assets already under our operation and on safe operational transition of the assets that are still being operated by Petrobras. We are commissioning as much as possible so that we can have tools and spare parts as soon as we take over the next clusters that are now at a final transition phase from Petrobras. I also highlight, as we can see on the photo on the slide, that we have gas-to-wire systems at Macau cluster for the production of electricity from our own gas already at the commissioning phase. Gradually, by year-end, we will be replacing 70% of the power that we consume from the energy grid by these power-generating systems of our own. As for the capital structure of the company, we maintain a strategy of evaluating opportunities to cope with our portfolio obligations. I'd like to remind you that the estimated closing date of Potiguar is expected for the beginning of next year, and that is our biggest midterm obligation. With that, we end the presentation of Q1 2022 earnings of 3R Petroleum, and we open the floor to questions. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please click on the Q&A icon on the bottom part of the screen and type your question. To ask questions live, click on the same icon and state your name and company, or click on the Raise Hand button. Please hold as we collect the questions. Our first question comes from Mr. Pedro Soares. Mr. Soares, you can unmute your mic.
Good day, Savini, Pizarro. Can you hear me?
Yes, Pedro, we can hear you. How are you?
Hello. All good. Thank you. All right. I have a couple of questions, Pizarro and Savini. My first question is regarding your hedging policy. I just would like you to elaborate. I'd like you to elaborate, Savini, regarding the company's strategy. What do you think would be ideal looking forward, both in terms of period in time, if you intend to hedge production for three months or six months, and also the size of exposure that you perhaps consider as ideal at the spot price? The reason I'm asking is that I'm trying to understand to what extent the company is willing to capture high prices of the commodity as production increases. If you're willing to do that, particularly now that you have fewer M&A deals in the horizon. My second question would be more on the operational side. If you could give us an order of magnitude regarding potential cost cuts that you mentioned, Pizarro, with the gas-to-wire project. At Macau, I think it's kind of around the corner. You'll start commissioning in the end of the first half of the year. Perhaps an order of magnitude regarding other fields, if this is in your radar. If I may, I'd like to ask a third question. If you could give us an update regarding the timing of the next fields that you will start operating.
Thank you very much for your questions. They are excellent questions. Now I'll start addressing the first question about our hedging policy. Pedro, basically what we've had talked about with the board and the executive board is that we will periodically evaluate our break-even or EBITDA generation in addition to, you know, interest on debt, if that is the case, and probably a minimum CapEx plan so that we'll be able to have stable production. By the same token, I would like to remind you that our break-even at 3R has a very efficient lifting cost because also we have a very competitive G&A. Given all of our cost structure in Brazil, including royalties, which are not much higher, in fact, it ranges among the lowest royalties of oil producing countries, our break-even is also very low. This allows us in a cycle of high oil prices, we can hedge a much lower percentage to ensure the break-even at Mansion, which is a good break-even for the generation of EBITDA and probably interest rates with a minimum CapEx. Just to give you an order of magnitude, just to be more precise in terms of my answer, we intend to maintain our hedge in between 30%-40% of production in the next 12 months. In the following year, you know, in the second half of 2023 and first half of 2024, about 20% of our planned production. Meaning that according to our financial plan, we would have at least 60% of our production being sold at market prices, floating like it's usual for any oil company, and a higher percentage in the following year. Therefore, Pedro, of course, that in case of any covenant of maybe some debt that is different than that, but at first, our intention is to evaluate production potential as a consequence of that calculation I just mentioned, rather than just establishing our percentage that could indeed hamper or damage our hedging volume, or maybe this would incur in a much lower hedging, lower than what is necessary to fulfill our obligations. And we also want to have a very stable capital structure. Now, let me address the second part of your question about gas to wire. I had mentioned a few other times in earnings results calls that the cost of energy for onshore and shallow water fields vary between 20 to 30%, with an increase in power tariffs or fees reaching about 30% of the total lifting cost. And with gas to wire, we can reduce approximately 40% of the total cost of energy. So with that in mind, I think it's much easier to calculate what will be the benefit of deploying gas to wire. This would mean that you take the operating cost and you multiply it by about 30 to 35%, and then you have a reducer of 40% once we have the gas to wire in operation, as will be the case in Macau by December. It will be a gradual operation. I mean, we will probably have the commissioning of that plant very soon. And with that, we will be able to conclude the transaction and the operation by year-end. And the third topic, the third question was about the closings yet to come. I mean, the closing in the pipeline, meaning the next assets. The next assets that we expect to close in the near time are the Rincón clusters. And I think this information has become public after the final approval from ANP. So there are still some minor issues that will soon be resolved. And then we have Fazenda Belém cluster, which is also approaching its final phase, and Peroá cluster. And I would just like to remind you that as this is an offshore asset, it is still pending the final transfer of all the licenses by IBAMA. And this is also approaching its final stage. Therefore, we see that in the next 3 months, all of these assets will be already operating under, 3R. And so Papa-Terra will come next. We are well advanced in all of the activities that are up to 3R, meaning hiring vendors. In the case of Papa-Terra, for instance, the major operator, which is what we call the O&M contract operation and maintenance, it's already approaching the end of the negotiations. Also, logistics support and the offshore support contracts are also being concluded. And all these contracts related to Peroá negotiations have been concluded, and we already anticipate much greater efficiencies when compared to the operations led by Petrobras. Now, speaking about Pescada, I didn't mention, but Pescada cluster should come between Papa-Terra and the Peroá cluster. So a little bit before Papa-Terra and followed by Peroá. Potiguar, the Potiguar cluster. According to the contract, we have a natural timeline of 15 months after the signing, or 15 months after January of this year. We are expected to have a closing, so there is a possibility of postponing that. That's according to the contract. But in our view, we want to try, I would say that according to our view, not only 3R, but Petrobras is also very much aligned in terms of complying with that 15-month window. So maybe by April or March of next year, we will have everything in place. We have a very strong team in both companies, both 3R and Petrobras, working in all fronts of that transaction because it's one of the largest that we've ever done. But we, such good skilled team, we've been very successful until now. So thank you, Pedro, for all of your questions. So now we can go to our next question. Thank you, Pizarro. Your answers were very clear. Our next question is from Mr. Vicente Falanga Neto. Mr. Vicente Neto, your microphone is on. Thank you, Savini. Thank you, Pizarro. I also had a few questions, and one of them is whether you could tell us a little bit more about your Macau drilling campaign for the second half of the year. And also, if you could give me a more technical snapshot. But first of all, when do you anticipate starting that? In what month? And what service company should start drilling for you? What is the average depth of the wells, and whether the depth is very different from all of the other wells, and whether you will increase that, and what is the estimated cost per well? My second question is whether you could elaborate more in terms of when we should expect to see the first results in the water injection plant, and whether the first one has started up, and whether you anticipate a very smooth startup. I have two other questions. That hedge table that you showed in your presentation that shows your hedged production, I just like to know whether that already includes Papa-Terra. And in terms of SG&A, you already got to about 360 employees, give or take. And so what would be an ideal number for you in corporate terms? Thank you, Falanga, for your question. Here with us is our Director of Operations Onshore, Pedro Grinhalber, but I will answer that saying that basically that we've been drawing a plan to probably expedite the number of well drillings, anticipating to sometime this year. So on the supply side, we already hired a first drilling rig, and everything is already in place so that we can already hire another additional drilling rig for 2022. And we also have plans to contract another one for early next year. We do not give any guidance in terms of the number of wells to be drilled this year. Well, the order of magnitude expected is at least a window between 6 to 12 wells that should start drilling sometime this year. So I would rather give you this range in terms of the number of wells. And these drillings should probably start in the fourth quarter. It will be divided between the Macau cluster because we have a field there called Salina Cristal. And we should also earmark some wells in the field of Areia Branca. This is an asset located in the Areia Branca cluster. So about drilling, this is basically it. Now, in regards to depth, directioning, and the features of the well itself, what I could say is that we are now addressing drillings of the 1P type. And some probable drillings that are within the probable reserves. So, in the majority of cases, they have a strong correlation with previous drillings, drillings that have been done in the past. So, there is nothing new in terms of well geometry, but certainly the format and the timing and the equipment to be used is something that certainly we want to do something in a more efficient way when compared to the previous operator. I would like to just add one more thing. I think the depth will vary depending on the field. We have different types of depths, and maybe that's why we also have different capacities in terms of different rigs. We have rigs of different capacities. Some are able to drill deeper in deeper reservoirs, and others are more suitable for shallower reservoirs. But as we were saying, and we are not going to exploratory areas, this is an infield drilling campaign. So these are wells to improve the draining grid of every reservoir, to improve the operation of every reservoir and every field. Alanga, now addressing and answering your second question about the separation planned. I just have a detail here. We will put a picture of that plant in our next institutional presentation, just to show you that the plants are already in place. They are now in the conditioning phase. And our main next step that will then conclude the process refers to the installation of the fiscal meters, because then ANP will then understand that the measuring point, it is within the 3R scope and no longer following the Petrobras scope within the Potiguar cluster. Therefore, this phase will be initiated now. We are already receiving all of those meters. And by the same token, we are already making a separation, even though, within a 30-day window, we are already separating water. This water will be re-injected. And I would just like to remind you that this entire process brings about three major benefits. Number one, we stop paying processing fee for all of the water that no longer arrives at the Potiguar cluster. So we have a reduction in the processing fee because the volume that arrives at Petrobras, even before the installation of that meter, is already reduced. The second major advantage is that we now have the effect of the secondary recovery, and maybe in the mid-long range, this is probably the most favorable advantages. This is, the fact that we want to revitalize, to foster this revitalization, and this is exactly what we will do in Macau at large scale. Petrobras didn't do much of that, and that's why at the Potiguar basins, the recovery factor is very low. And also, we will no longer have to pump a very relevant amount of fluid, and this also helps us to reduce energy costs. So basically, these are the three effects. Therefore, part of these effects will be felt within 30 days. Fiscal measurement may take a little bit longer in case we bump into some regulatory issues that will allow us to indeed certify the new fiscal meters. But in terms of our installation pipeline and commissioning, everything is pretty much in line with the plan. Well, Vicente, just to add to that answer, because I think you asked something else. In terms of drilling services, the suppliers or vendors that we work for 3R, we are now in the middle of a bidding process. Therefore, we cannot yet tell you what our, drilling rig supplier will be. But the process is way underway. But also services, we are already looking at possible companies that will provide services. But almost all the bidding process is way advanced. Therefore, our drilling campaign is well in place. And therefore, very soon we will announce to the market that we will start drilling in the second half. But I cannot tell you yet because we are still, finalizing the contracts. Falanga, the third subject that you mentioned about Papa-Terra's hedging. Well, part of Papa-Terra's hedge is already realized, and therefore, this quarter, we also see some effects because once we have Peroá closing and also Recôncavo's closing, I would just like to emphasize this, that is of July 1st. Once we have the closing of these assets before July 1st, which is what we expect after that date, that's when the entire oil and gas production will then be generating value to us, and this will be posted in our P&L, or this will also, be discounted from the amount that we pay to Petrobras. It is also very important whenever we analyze hedging and how much we will produce, we have to bear in mind that we have to weigh in not in terms of the assets that are being operated by 3R, but also those that are generating cash in favor of 3R. If we look forward, look into the future, looking at all of our positions, approximately 20 to 25%, certainly this depends on our financial planning, and I will try to give you some order magnitude and also maybe looking at the planning that you have in the reserve certification, but something around 20 to 25% of 2022's production is already protected. And we've been doing some hedge, not in a large scale, but we are making, gradual hedging, and this also protects about 8% and 5% of the subsequent years, 2023, 2024. And if we do that gradually, certainly our intention is to seek for the average price in the period with no speculation biases. So much so that we will be able to meet that first calculation that I mentioned to Pedro Soares, because we always try to protect our current obligations. EBITDA, operating expenses, admin costs of the company, royalties, and all of the other obligations related to the operation itself, in addition to, interest on the debt and minimum CapEx to maintain production. And finally, just to answer your last question about the headcount, at the end of the first quarter, we had 360 people. This headcount is totally compliant, not only with our current operations, but it's also 100% prepared for Peroá and Recôncavo clusters, vast majority of Fazenda Belém cluster and Papa-Terra, but certainly also the entire team, the main team of the Potiguar cluster is yet to be put together in due time. Therefore, we do not have a final headcount of after the acquisition of the Potiguar cluster, but what we already have in-house, considering that number of people, are several of the main leaders of the operation of the Potiguar cluster. So are we adding an additional headcount? Yes, certainly we will have to add more people. Are these leaders in the company? Well, not yet. Well, the most extensive people in the pyramid comes from in-house. And from now on, and that's why we often refer to that, is that there is a natural trend for a reduction in fixed costs. Therefore, when we look at the full operation in the second quarter of 2023, if the closing occurs in the first quarter, we will be on a very competitive level of G&A per barrel. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Your answers were very clear, much to the point. I would like to remind you that for questions, just type them in the Q&A button of the platform or just click on raise hand. Our next question comes from Leonardo Marcondes. Mr. Leonardo, your microphone is on.
Hello, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. My first question is about Macau. I would just like to understand whether this production increase in the first quarter is somehow related to negotiations in measuring methodology changes vis-à-vis Petrobras. I would like to remember that material fact that you posted in August or September of last year. And if the answer is yes, how much discount do you anticipate in your production? My second question is about Papa-Terra. We've seen the production from that asset coming down since August, and in the last 2 months, there was no production coming from that field in February and March. So my question is whether you could share with us something about the operation of the platforms in that field and whether you know the reasons behind that drop in production, et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. About Macau, after
an extensive combined work between 3R and Petrobras in the second half of last year. The issue of the measurement was settled. We reviewed all the meters, not only the 2 meters from our own operations, but also all the meters from Petrobras located in the Potiguar Basin. So all meters are now, calibrated according to the same rule. We always insisted that this would be necessary if we have to be accountable for production. And now we are very pleased with the measurement at this point. And in a few weeks, we will commission our water separation plant, and this, will leave a niche. So having said that, I would say that production increment in the Macau cluster is a result of the operating efficiency and greater operating efficiency that we were able to achieve at that cluster, and also the result of some workovers that we did in some of the existing wells. We are still preparing our drilling campaign, but there is still some CapEx associated to the entry into new reservoirs of old wells. This has brought about new production, both in Macau and also Rio Ventura. But basically, that's it. About Papa-Terra, I will start by answering that, and maybe Gustavo can add to my answer. I would like to remind you that this operation is not yet in our hands, is not yet in our control. Petrobras continues to operate that with NTI, which is a partner. We are monitoring that, and for the past 2 months, the platform is going through a series of maintenance, some scheduled and some not scheduled. Well, it's also important to say that today we are working within that platform with our team and together with Petrobras. Therefore, we are on site monitoring what is happening with that concession of Papa-Terra, and the agreement with Petrobras is that Petrobras should finalize the maintenance work before they turn over the asset to us. So this is the agreement, and therefore we know that until they conclude the maintenance operations, they will then pass it to us, and this would be bad both for both companies, right? So this is the point. This is an asset of heavy oil, and one of the problems, just to give you some more color, one of the problems is in the boiler of the platform. A boiler is something very important. If you consider that this is heavy oil with a lot of viscosity, you need a lot of heat to treat the oil. And this boiler is now undergoing a very severe maintenance. Well, I would just like to reinstate Sabine's message. This planning with Petrobras indicates that they should conclude the maintenance operation of the boilers and conduct the inspection of the tanks so that when 3R takes the assets should be 100% operational. We have not mapped out any problems related to the wells, meaning the production capacity is still maintained. This was just a maintenance stoppage. Our team is already on board, led by Maurício Diniz. I would just like to remind you that Diniz was the general manager of Petrobras, and he is very much aware of all of the maintenance needs of that asset. And for us, I think the important good news is that we will take over that platform. These are almost brand new platforms. They are in perfect operating conditions. And if we compare this with the experiences from other companies in older platforms, this could become a challenge or could be a challenge in the beginning of an offshore operation, which is not the case. I would just link that answer to a question that we received in writing. And the question also asked us about maintenance stoppages in Papa-Terra. And also the question relates to Malumbi. Malumbi is one of the fields that are part of the Peroá cluster. This is a field where Petrobras already made a discovery. the expectation is that that field should produce more than 2 million cubic meters of gas a day in a peak of production. Therefore, we are evaluating very well that we expect to operate that field through a tieback, taking advantage of the processing capacity of the Peroá platform. We already conducted our initial FEL 1 study, which has been concluded in-house. We are already conducting some analysis to have a confirmation of the planned CapEx. And in due time, when we see that the pressure is adequate or we have lower pressure in the Peroá fields, we will certainly put this field into production through tieback in that Peroá Iguá platform. It's our own platform that is started to operate in 2009. And looking at the offshore assets, this is a very new platform and modern when compared to other platforms in operation in Brazil at the moment. Thank you. Thank you very much for your answers. Our next question is from Mr. Tasso Vasconcelos. Mr. Vasconcelos, you can begin. Well, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions, and congratulations for your results. I think I have two questions. The first relates to Potiguar clusters. What about your conversations with potential partners, maybe an equity partner? What about your appetite, the appetite of potential investors? And on the funding side, what do you see in terms of the opportunity window, considering demand from investors and fees? So any update you can give me will be quite welcome. And my second question would be probably a follow-up related to your conversations with vendors and bids. You talked about Macau and Papa-Terra, but I understand that a great part of CapEx will probably pick up when you indeed take over the operations of the other assets. So all of these bids, do they also involve the contracts of the new assets that closing is still pending, and whether you see some kind of difficulties, maybe, you know, shorter supply, and also in relation to inflation in the oil and gas market that is probably more intense? Do you see any changes in the cost of acquisition of equipment, etc.? Okay, Tasso, great. Thank you very much. Now, answering your first question on the Potiguar cluster, I would like just to start with a comment, maybe on the side of your question. I would like to say that with Potiguar's cluster infrastructure, 1.8 million barrels, in addition to our exporting capacity, also, all that associated to the existing infrastructure of the FPSO and Papa-Terra. So in our portfolio, we have the capacity to export independently. We can export oil in large scale, more than 90% of our production that can be sold to third parties, trading companies, and could also be sold to any other companies in long-term agreements without being dependent on third parties. I just say that because it's very natural that such a large structure with large scale could attract great interest from potential partners. So what I can say is probably all trading companies operating in Brazil or that have routes close to the Brazilian coast, they are in contact with 3R, seeking for partnerships, be it strategic partnerships, or, I do apologize again, or commercial strategies, or equity. We do not have any signed partnership, but as soon as that happens, and if it happens, we'll tell the market, but that's not the case. I can tell you that we are still very far from entering into an equity partnership, but what we intend to bring to market quickly is just the conclusion of a study conducted by our own team at 3R together with an expert consultant, the same consultant that was used during the sale of a large refinery in Brazil. We hire this company, and some of the members of the company, they are experts in refinery infrastructure and inventory. So we want to bring to the market something similar to a reserve certification. However, it will be a certification of our technical capacity and also evaluation of this mid and downstream operation for several reasons. And one of them is indeed to bring to market our internal view about this asset, which would be something very unique of the Potiguar cluster vis-à-vis any other cluster along the Brazilian coast. Now, about financial structuring, we are still open and analyzing opportunities. We've been provoked by several financial institutions, and we are, being tempted to evaluate opportunities, but we haven't made any decision, not even at the executive level or at the level of the board. Therefore, we didn't make any announcement to the market in that regards. But I would like to emphasize what is posted in the release is that we are making some evaluations in terms of, getting the closing of the Potiguar cluster. Now, about your second question about the potential inflation of costs of goods and services. Well, certainly, this is something well known in this industry. There is a large parallel between salaries and costs of goods and services with the commodity curve in the case of Brent. Therefore, we have always expected that with such a strong increase in the Brent curve, we would anticipate some escalation of costs. But if you look at the results of the quarter, we are posting a drop in lifting cost. And this is just to say that so far everything is under control, but we also have to look towards the future and just hope, we expect some level of inflation in costs. But right now, just to be more specific, we haven't seen any issues related to hirings. We have four processes in terms of hiring drilling rigs to operate in different assets, not only Macau, Rio Ventura, in Bahia, Areia Branca, in Rio Grande do Norte, and eventually some other opportunities in the clusters where we are not operating yet. But we've been saying this almost forever. We've been saying that our operating and technical strategy is to take over the assets and work hard to improve that operating efficiency, giving time for the technical teams to put together some new models, engineering models for the reservoirs. And so only after that, we will be able to design a new redevelopment plan for these assets involving all of the other strategies, which is drilling and injection of fluids for the recovery of the pressure in the reservoirs. We usually say that this happens at the beginning of the third year. So we spend 2 years studying the fields that we take over, and this is precisely what is being done at Macau right now. And certainly, as we are in the big transition of the clusters, the new clusters will just come along in a synergic way alongside with other operations. So our learning curve is very strong. We see the possibility of drilling sooner at the Recôncavo and Potiguar clusters as soon as we take over, especially because our technical teams for geology, geophysical, reservoir engineering, and well engineering, all of these teams are already in contact with the geology of these basins and reservoirs. So there are, yes, good opportunities for drilling, and this, drilling rig hub is adequate for the assets that are already in operation and those to come. I just have two additional comments. The first is a very obvious comment, but the impact of inflation is significantly lower than the increment of the oil curve. Therefore, the national trend would be the improvement of our operating margins or the EBITDA margin of the company. The second aspect that I would like to emphasize in terms of the CapEx plan in general is that once we have a good onshore and shallow waters portfolio, like in the case of 3R, we also have a competitive differential, quite relevant because our investment plan can be changed both to accelerate or postpone things. And it's very flexible, more flexible than any other planning of an offshore asset. Offshore, you have a horizon of 8 to 10 months of CapEx plan that can be changed. In the offshore, you're usually planning 2 years ahead at least. And this is one of the main flexibilities that we have in our portfolio. That's because we are well positioned in terms of onshore and shallow water assets.
Very, very clear. Thank you, Savini, and thank you, Pizarro.
Our next question comes from Guilherme Levy. Your microphone is on. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, and congratulations for your results, and thank you for taking my questions. My first question is on natural gas. You were able to close some new contracts with the Potiguar operator. Therefore, I understand that further on you will have to close new contracts once you take over that cluster from Petrobras. I just want to understand whether you already have some negotiations with a distributing company or maybe an independent player to acquire that natural gas. And my second question is whether, we should think about the evolution of the negotiation. Do you think, is there any negotiation to maybe lower that limit so you would be considered a small to mid-size player and then you would only apply royalties in the incremental curve? Also, I want to know whether you've had any conversation with the regulating agency and if you understand whether the conversations are moving forward at an appropriate speed. Thank you.
Fine, Guilherme, thank you. Well, answering your first question about natural gas. First of all, looking at our results, we indeed have now almost $6 per million BTU sold in the fields of the Macau cluster and on average also in Pescada da Baiana. Our intention is to have similar contracts both in Bahia as well as in the Peroá cluster. These contracts are quite flexible. The more we produce, our current offtake that Petrobras buys, I mean, in fact, 100% of what's being produced with no major possibilities of penalties in the event of lower production levels. On the other hand, we are also looking at other opportunities that would have different risk profiles and different returns. Maybe we would achieve better rates, but with some eventual penalties in the case of a production interruption. Now, in an attempt to be more objective, certainly our intention is to replicate similar contracts, similar to those that we already have for the Potiguar Basin. We talk to all distributing companies, those with which we operate both in Espírito Santo and Bahia and in the Potiguar Basin, in order to evaluate some possible improvements. Another highlight that I often mention is that our entire production of the Potiguar cluster is connected to the PGMs of the Guaporé assets that become now 3R. So not only we are treating 3R gas, but also the gas from possible operators from the Potiguar cluster. And these are connected to compressors that are connected to Nordestão, I mean the gas grid in the Northeast, and it's also connected to gas for of the entire gas network of the southeast of the country. Therefore, any
additional amount of gas, additional in terms of what we are not utilizing in the process, could be sold to any customer along the Brazilian coast. And this in an additional differential of 3R's portfolio after the acquisition of the Potiguar cluster. I would like to remind you as well that for the Potiguar cluster, we do not anticipate large exceeding amounts. And also to establish a link with Savini's answer or Savini's comments during the presentation, acquired other potential gas fields in the last NPs round. And these are correlated gas fields. They are adjacent to our, you know, Sanhaçu field in the Macau cluster. And this could be an increment to our portfolio. And therefore, we would have a potential to increase production and we'll be able to sell this gas to any player along the Brazilian coast, you know, assisted by Gas 4 or Nordestão. Now, about your second question, in terms of how do we define a small and mid-sized company vis-a-vis NP, we participate directly and indirectly through ABPIP, the Brazilian Association of Independent Producers. We are part of this debate. And yes, we believe that eventually 3R could be fit into one of these criteria. And there's yet a third criteria already defined by NP, that the production increment coming from new wells or new investment plans in mature fields could also benefit from the royalties reduction between 10 to 15%. And we already asked NP to do that in some of our operating assets. And as I mentioned before, Brazil already has 8 to 10% royalty for onshore and offshore, and this is very much aligned to a worldwide practice. But there are some opportunities, especially in more mature fields, and this is what we have in our portfolio. Thank you. Our next question is from Conrado Wagner from Safra, from Banco Safra. Your microphone is on. Good afternoon, Savini and Bizarro. Thank you for taking my questions. I think some of my questions have been already answered, so I will start with a follow-up on Potiguar and a study mentioned by Pizarro and your team together with external consultants for the refining operation, more specifically. I understand that the new amount of the operation is higher than what was initially estimated. Therefore, I just want to know whether that with that, the potential partners are still willing to participate in the business and whether they are aligned with this new value of for the refining operation. And my other question, I mean, changing subjects, but still considering cash generation of the transition assets that you're already entitled to, Fazenda Belém, Papaterra, and also Pescada, whether you have an estimate that you could share with us in terms of how much is that accumulated amount of your cash flow related to the operations that should be deducted from the amounts to be paid. Thank you, Conrado. Now, answering your questions, first about the Potiguar cluster. I also talked about that in previous earnings release calls, that when 3R evaluated the Potiguar cluster, we conducted a typical analysis for upstream clusters. And for mid and downstream, we were very conservative, utilizing Petrobras assumptions and basic assumptions that were mentioned in the teaser, and all of the documentation was given to all the participants. And in fact, as you said, every time we analyze and discuss the subject with potential partners and we get into more depth in terms of that subject, we verify that we have good upsides for that asset. And indeed, this, in order to make an eventual equity partnership, we would have to talk about it some more, in more length. In the last few months, we studied the subject in more depth. This is a significant asset in terms of mid and downstream, and also in regards to the flexibility to sell gas and oil to any third party, the sale of refined products, meaning, in fact, we have all of the good characteristics of a good onshore production and the good characteristics of operating offshore, still having an offloading right at our doorstep with no problems to buy or sell refined goods or crude oil. So, to be more objective, we haven't yet arrived at any equity negotiation or eventual negotiation for this possible partnership. Also, we have to respect the conditions set forth by the buy and sale contract with Petrobras related to equity partnerships. Now, in regards to equity, we do not get an update from the prior operator, all of the assumptions in regards to cash operation. Therefore, we prefer not to anticipate anything. What we can say is that some installments in Pescada da Baiana, we will probably not pay anymore. Papa-Terra installments, we pay in part, or maybe we will not pay the first one. And for the Potiguar cluster, this is where we see great opportunities to generate cash due to upstream, because we are generating cash from oil and gas production. And for 6 months and maybe 9 months, we may have a significant amount to be deducted from that installment of $1.04 billion that we would have to pay at closing. So this installment will be lower, maybe about $150 million, depending on assumptions related to Brent and operating assumptions on the Petrobras side or CapEx from Petrobras in the period, meaning that it's a big window with some assumptions. But given any scenario, the volume is much higher when compared to cash generation that we had up to now from other assets.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Pizarro, very much.
The Q&A session is now concluded. I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Rodrigo Pizarro for his final remarks. You may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this earnings release call and for joining us today. In fact, we are very pleased with the results that we achieved. And basically, we were able to post a substantial increment in production, both related to organic growth in Macau and the takeovers we have. This is the first full quarter, and also the working interest of Sanha Sul that we acquired from Galp and the Areia Branca cluster that we acquired in the middle of this last quarter. We are also very pleased with our operating team led by Pedro Gredialba. They were able to post a reduction in operating costs. So in general, our portfolio, which is an effect of this reduction in fixed costs. And we've been very diligent in our messages. We always try to convey our investors and analysts the message that, in fact, the current focus of the company is the effective, swift transition and safe transition of all of the assets on the pipeline. And we are not just here waiting, because while we wait for the final, approval for the transfer of the Recôncavo cluster, we expedite everything else. I mean, all of the rigs are ready to be mobilized, all of our teams and also spare parts are in place. Therefore, we can do everything mentioned by Savini, meaning to expedite production increase. And in less than 10 months, we are already posted an increase of 35% in Rio Ventura, and this is very significant for the Recôncavo cluster, giving our strategic position in that basin. And as Savini well said, our onshore and shallow water assets that we are acquiring, they are already in basins that we are already operates effectively. This facilitates our task, and we increase the number of lessons learned, and we hope that in the next future quarters, we can continue to post just as good results as those posted in this quarter. Thank you all very much. Our petroleum conference call is now concluded. Thank you for joining us, and have a very good afternoon.